There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast in the history of the Internet.
Hi, Trevor.
How are you doing?
I'm good. This is Rob.
A special impromptu Monday night show.
Yeah, it is. I, after last night's Big Brother, and after, Wednesday or Thursday night's eviction?
Both very good.
Holy
cow. The game
cow.
Changed. We were completely wrong.
We were.
Our last episode.
Yeah.
We were completely off.
Oh, I would have bet my house that it was, Alyssa going home.
I never for a second thought that it wasn't Alyssa going home until Alyssa didn't go home. Even up until the very end. I was like, nah, Spencer and McCray are gonna fuck this up.
Yeah.
And Alyssa's going home on a 6-5 vote.
Well, here's the thing that kind of interested me. Like, I follow Allison on Twitter. She hardly ever tweets. But that night, she tweeted, there's still a lot of strategy, like, hours before the live show. She's like, there's still a lot of strategy going on inside the Big Brother house. We don't know what's gonna happen. And I'm like, oh, you're just trying to pump up the show. Not that I blame her. Not that
I mean,
her.
But even the hardcore Big Brother fans I know, they text me like there could be a change afoot in the house, and I was like, I think it's all smoke and mirrors. Yeah. I never for a second believed that Alyssa was staying until Alyssa stayed.
I know.
I mean, even up until the very end, I was like, Spencer and McCray are telling people that they're going to do this, but they're in the moving company. They're not going to follow through.
Yeah.
I mean, until they walked into that room and voted Nick out, I just didn't see it coming.
Well, here's the thing, and we need to sell some live feeds here, and this is a good night. This is a good time to sell some live feeds, people. Because...
And the live feeds really are what basically, you know, I think the people who really had the most belief that this switch was going to happen are the ones that truly watch every second of the live feeds.
Yes. They were on top of it. But here's what was interesting. After Nick's eviction is when things really got interesting on the live feeds. Now, things are still interesting. I want everybody to go order the Big Brother live feeds. That's what I really want people to do. RFFradio.com.
Did I not tell you it would be a mental challenge for HOH?
Oh, yeah. RFFradio.com/Big Brother. You can get your live feeds ordered. You can try them free for 48 hours. I urge everybody to go try it because the feeds were fascinating after the eviction that night. I mean, so much more than what was showed on TV and things that can't be showed on TV. It was fun to watch that night. And it's always fun to watch the live feed. So I really urge everybody to go buy them. RFFradio.com/Big Brother.
I mean, after the vote, right?
Yes.
The house has basically been rocked.
Yes.
Aaron, Gina Marie, Caitlin, I mean, they were really, you know, it just off the wall a bit.
It's a typical response when you find out that you're
in the minority.
Yes, that you are losing. And being in the minority is something that Aaron's not used to being in.
Oh, inappropriate, Mel. No, I mean, but no, we need to discuss that too first.
Yes.
Before everything else, Julie Chen asks Aaron, do you know that you're on television?
Yeah.
And she answers, yes. Is she serious? And can we address this in the last episode, but I'm losing my shit over
it. It's still a hot topic.
They need to get her off the show because it's actually hurting Big Brother's image.
No, it's
like,
not.
People are not watching Big Brother.
I disagree with you on that completely.
I disagree. I've talked to people who are absolutely turned off that they would cast somebody like her in the house.
I think that for as many people that are turned off, there are 10 people that are like, holy shit, what's going on in this house? I need to check it out.
Listen, I think right now people at CBS are like, we need to get this girl off the show. Have they ever aired a disclaimer before an episode of Big Brother?
No, they probably haven't.
They did on Sunday.
But, like I said, for every person that's being...
Yeah, this is CBS, not Bravo.
No, I understand.
Right? I mean, this is CBS, not VH1 or MTV, where, yeah, it might be acceptable for somebody to act like that, right? This is a national network television show. And, yeah, it's expected that the people on the show are going to, yeah, there's going to be some tomfoolery. But you're not going to offend your listener base, your watchers, right? If this were MTV, maybe, right? Maybe there wouldn't be such a push to get rid of her.
Yeah.
But I think this is CBS. I bet there's people right now in suits at CBS that are like, we need to get this girl off the show. However, if you have to go into the house and tell Helen to make sure we nominate her, get that woman off our show immediately.
I still think... For every person that is turned off by her, there are 10 that have turned the show on because there's some controversy in the house.
There's some controversy and what she's doing. I mean, we're skipping around.
Yeah, we are. We'll get back to what has happened. But
how does she not realize that she's on TV? That's just what I don't get. How does she think that that's acceptable behavior in the 21st century? Right, it's unbelievable to me. And then there's the other scene where Amanda was trying to get through to her, like, you know, you got to stop doing this, right? I mean, people in the house think you're a total racist, and she's like, whatever. And then she compared it to people thinking that she's a stupid blonde. And I was like, it's like I don't think she gets it. I really don't. It's actually kind of sad.
She doesn't get it, and it is sad. But I still think that in some way, someone controversial has helped the show.
See, I disagree. I'd like to see what the ratings are, because I'd be willing to bet they've lost a couple viewers. And it's viewers that might come back, though, after she's gone. But I think she's definitely turned off some people, turned off watchers of the show. But no, let's jump
now,
into that.
I'm just reading an article right now. Golf overrun on the right side of the country. It made it difficult to accurately judge Sunday's Big Brother performance, but the racist house guests definitely helped CBS win overall. That's what this article is saying.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at some of these network executive meetings, because I'm sure right now there's people that are like, oh, God.
4 days ago from Entertainment Weekly, headline is Big Brother rating surge continues.
Really?
Yeah. Big Brother had 5.9 million viewers.
They would give up some ratings points, or a ratings point just for her to go.
They had an 18% jump, from the week before.
I'm not sure if that's so much. The Big Brother is a show that, like,
20%. Trevor, come on, 20% after this news hits come on now. Almost 20% increase in ratings. That's substantial.
Yeah, I still think they'd rather her go. I think right now they're sitting there and they're like, we need to get rid of her.
I don't disagree that they probably want her gone. In terms of they don't want the heat, but I don't think that the heat that they're getting in the press is killing them.
I think it's probably pissing off some people at CBS. I guarantee right now that the producers are taking shit over what she's doing in the house. I mean, when has Julie Chen ever asked somebody, do you realize that you're on TV? She's almost was basically telling Aaron to clean it up a little bit. That was Julie Chen nicely telling her, well, why don't you try to shape up a little bit here?
Yeah, but I don't think Aaron's smart enough to realize that's what was going on.
I mean, she can't spell it out for her, but I mean, that's what she was alluding to.
It is what she was alluding to, but I don't think that Aaron's smart enough to pick up what you know, Julie was laying down.
But no, I mean, but that, yeah, after Nick goes, right?
Yes.
He has a tantrum.
I think tantrum is an understatement.
Is these people that just are bawling. She's known the guy for 25 days.
Not even. It was like day 21.
Day 20. It's not like they've been dating for 5 years and he decided not to marry her.
Right.
Right? Yeah. It 21 days.
I think there's a difference inside the Big Brother house.
I get, because you're with that person constantly. I agree. Right. There's a bit of a difference, but I don't think I would cry that much over, you know, 21 days. It's not a whole hell of a lot of time.
No, it's not. But I really feel like there's an intensity in that house. That goes along with those relationships.
I would agree with that.
And I just think that I understand in a way, to a point, but the way she was carrying on is just, I mean, she was celebrating that have-not competition was, oh, it's for you, Nick, and did you see her jumping around? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Howard's the first person in history to try to throw a half-half
nut shot. Oh, my God. He really is.
He was really trying. McCray was just terrible.
McCray, so bad.
Just kicking his stuff and throwing it at Aaron's face.
Oh, and somebody tweeted me last night that they would pay $1 million to throw spoiled milk in Aaron's face all night.
I mean, literally, Howard was pretending to fall down, get up. Like, yeah. He's trying everything he could to lose that.
It was
yet
ridiculous.
McCray was just terrible at that challenge.
And it's not that hard of a challenge, really.
It wasn't that hard of a challenge. I've never seen somebody say, you know what, screw it, I'm willing to be a have-not for a week just to show these three assholes.
Yeah.
Who makes the decision to take cold showers and eat bologna and something else?
Was it bologna? I don't even remember.
Bologna, I know, was the week before.
Oh, just terrible.
I think bologna and blue cheese was the week before.
Ugh. I don't know if I could...
Was it the beans and liver the week before? I'm not sure.
It was liver. Something with liver.
Now, I told you it was going to be a mental challenge.
Yes, so let's go back to HOH.
I knew they were going to try to set that up for Helen to win.
But Helen...
But now, by the way, that might be the most impressive mental challenge in the history of Big Brother. Have they ever had to go to the chalkboard three times?
Was it three times or twice?
Three times, I thought. I know at least one was 168.
I think it was just twice. I think they just went to the chalkboard twice. That, but still, I don't know if they've ever had a tie in a chalkboard challenge. Like, they got the answer perfect. Like, the question was, how many seconds did it take for Jeremy to win the was it the veto? And they knew exactly. Two people knew exactly. Or, well, maybe it was more than two people.
No, the first one was how many cases of Coca-Cola, how many cans of Coca-Cola came into the house.
Oh, and yeah.
One of them got 168, which actually isn't all that hard when you think about it, because you figure 24 Cokes in a case, right?
Yeah.
So if you saw seven, you would be all set. Did I do the math right on that? Yeah, I think I did.
I'm just reading reading up on trying to get some hints on that. Anyway.
But then Helen won with that veto. She gets 800, and the final answer is 890.
Yeah.
So she got it.
We're also, by the way, everybody listening to the show, we're going to touch on some spoilers here later. I know it's Monday night, but we do have some spoilers as to what is going on inside the Big Brother house from the live feeds, and we'll warn you before we go into our spoiler section, so that if you don't want to ruin the show for yourself, you won't, but you can always listen to it afterwards, because we'll have some commentary on what's been going on inside the Big Brother house, but we're not going to do spoilers just yet.
So Helen wins HOH.
Helen wins HOH.
Then you have the fight between Aaron and Candace.
Yes.
And then Aaron and I thought Aaron and Caitlin were really just trying to be mean to Jesse.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
I mean, that's how it started. They were just trying to really twist the knife at Jesse. Then Candace came in, saw her bed upside down, saw them picking on Jesse.
But
tried to stand up a little bit. And then Erin, yeah, just... But what can you say? I mean, she's just a piece of work.
It's absolutely bitching girl move to do what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% bitchy girl move to do that.
I feel like when they were picking on Jesse, too, it did feel like, you know, you're back in high school and the cool kids are picking on the person who can't stick up for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Jesse's an easy target. Are they? Yeah, I thought that was kind of mean. You know, Candace is obviously going to stick up for herself. And then Erin, I couldn't believe what was coming out of her mouth when she was going at Candace.
Well, I think that's just in general. But before we do that, TARDIS pilot in the chat room says the number of cans were from labels on the boxes in the shipments that they had for the Memorize. Not actual cans delivered to the house. So, I mean, just a little change there. But, yeah, I can't – the things that come out of Erin's mouth in general are
– It's unbelievable. It's like she didn't grow up in America. But then Howard grabs Candace, brings her out of the room. And really, I think that might have sealed Erin's fate as a nominee because I don't think Helen – I think Helen in a perfect world – would have liked to have put up Jeremy and Caitlin, but when Erin kind of went at Candace, I don't think Helen had really much of a choice.
No, I think you're right.
Because I think Helen would have liked to have kept Erin in the game, but I just don't think that she had any choice, but she had to put her up, or else basically her alliance would have abandoned her.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean... She would have much rather had Spencer up there.
Spencer, Jeremy, one of the guys.
Yeah. Jeremy, I'm thinking, yeah. Spencer's the bearded guy, isn't he? God, I still can't get their names right. I'm thinking of Jeremy.
I mean, because really, if you're Helen, that's who you'd like to get out of the game is Jeremy.
Right.
She had that whole talk with Erin the week before about how she would be willing to work with her and it might work out since nobody would assume that they could get along.
Yeah, but that was a terrible ploy for Helen to try to save Alyssa. It was not ever viable. I mean, that's a terrible thing. You should keep me around so that I can get rid of your friends. Because since we're enemies, no one would suspect that's terrible.
It wasn't really viable, but I just think in Helen, I don't know what she was thinking, what her overall plans are, but I'm sure she'd rather get Jeremy out this week than Erin.
Oh yeah,
she's kind of forced into boxed into having to get Erin out.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
By the way, it'll be hysterical when Erin gets eliminated and Julie calls you up and says, "Hey, Rob, do you want to host the after show this week?"
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you do the post interview?
You want to do the exit interview? Because I am not talking to that bitch.
That'd be awesome. Julie, Erin comes out. You're standing there in a suit and tie, and is like, "Where's Julie?" And you're like. They need to have to do the Phil Keegan. Julie doesn't want to speak with you.
Yeah.
Shoddy, like faux British voice.
You know what? I still... Jeff Probst. Get Jeff to do that exit interview. Because Jeff would rip her apart.
I feel like Phil with his to deliver a condescending... Julie Chen doesn't want to speak to you.
That's great. Oh, that would be hilarious.
Or she walks out of the house and there's a sign that says, "Just keep on walking, no exit interview."
Yeah, like she walks out of the house, there's nobody in the audience. Like the audience is just gone. Julie's not standing there. There's like a production assistant standing at the end with his blue card going, "Yeah, no one's talking to you. You can just go into the green room."
There's a car waiting for you. It'll bring you to LAX. Have a good life.
Yeah, they're not even doing that for her. They'll be like, "You got to find your way to LAX."
There's a cab stand, I think, at the corner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no,
just leave and never come back.
I don't disagree with you in the fact that I think they want her out because they don't like the bad press, but I don't think the bad press has been hurting them.
You can make the argument it might actually be helping their ratings, but it's just absolutely probably infuriating the executives at CBS.
Yeah, it is.
Like, whoever was responsible for casting her is definitely, like, sitting there going, I hope I don't lose my job.
Well, whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to hit the inappropriate bell. They are definitely going to change the way they screen people for...
After this season, I absolutely agree. I think it might actually be now a question. They may actually do, because I guarantee next season this will not happen.
Are you a racist? Now they do a Tosh.0 is it racist segment for everybody, and they ask the question.
you know how they'll do it. They'll ask like There's a way psychologically to bring it out without actually asking, are you a racist?
There is. George Zimmerman is acquitted on...
What are your thoughts
on that?
So now we have the nominees, yes. Aaron and Caitlin.
Yes.
And we're going to the POV. And do you want to go into spoilers?
Before we do spoilers, I do want to touch on one other thing before we move on. I agree with them getting and voting Nick out. I absolutely do. For Helen, it was best to keep Alyssa around and keep an alliance together. And by keeping Alyssa around and keep an alliance together, she absorbed some players along the way of getting rid of Nick. I still think it's dangerous to keep Alyssa in the house.
Well, because Alyssa will keep winning MVP every week.
Exactly. And that... Here's the other thing that they're going to have to change. I do like the MVP twist. I do like that a lot. But it's going to have to be next year. They're going to have to put a limit. Maybe you can only win it once and then you're not eligible for it the next week. Or maybe you can win it twice and then you're not eligible for it again. Until, you know, a following week after you have had a break. I don't like this... one person getting it week after week after week.
I think they may have put in the MVP specifically to help Alyssa, right? When they casted her in the show.
Yes.
They had show casting Rachel's sister.
Right.
I mean, that girl is obviously going to be one of the first targets in the house. He had to give her kind of a way to stay in the game.
And here's the thing. I contacted CBS tonight. I formally requested an interview with Nick because I'd love to talk to Nick. And I formally requested an interview with Allison. Instead of doing a Twitter bomb on her, I formally requested an interview with Allison. And that is definitely a question that I want to know. Is the MVP, was that in put in before or after you decided to cast Alyssa?
No, we might get Nick. But on the Allison one, you're going to get the IILII email back. And if anybody knows what that does, if anybody doesn't know what that means, just type it into your computer right now.
Oh, Trevor. Now, I have formally requested the interview with... with Allison. I think we might, I mean, I don't know, we might have a shot.
We've gotten plenty of Survivor and Amazing Race people. Big Brother, they might still be upset about what Jessica said a few years ago. I'm not sure if we'll ever be able to
it is think it. It is a guy, I mean, the press person handling Big Brother this year is a guy that I know from talking press interviews with Survivor. So him and I have a rapport with each other. So
maybe he doesn't know that Jessica.
Yes. Maybe. So I'm banking on that maybe.
He doesn't realize we're the podcast that Jessica spilled those beans.
Yes.
On.
I'm hoping maybe that isn't out there. But Faithy in the chat room says, I agree with you on the MVP, Rob. And yes, Trevor, I think they did exactly that when they casted her. I, I, I think you're probably right, Trevor. I think that the MVP was added in there after Alyssa was casted. Anything else? Do we need to talk about anything else prior to the Nick eviction?
No, let's just jump into the spoilers.
Okay, so this is the point. Just a second here. This is the point. Why don't you take over for just a second, Trevor?
Spoiler alert. No, so if you don't want to know what happens on Big Brother and you don't plan on watching Big Brother After Dark tonight to find out anyways, then this is your spoiler alert.
Yes, and pause it here because we will be talking about after the show's air, you can come back and listen to what we've talked about. Because also after we're done with Big Brother, we're going to talk a little bit about whodunit and probably touch on a few other things, like the George Zimmerman trial.
Okay.
So here is your spoiler alert, people. Pause it and come back. POV. Well, first it was Aaron and Caitlin for eviction. Caitlin won the POV. She used it on herself, obviously. Helen nominated Jeremy in her place. Alyssa was MVP again and nominated Spencer.
Interesting nominee. I'm surprised Gina Marie didn't go up for one of those two. Because she would be a better pawn, I think, than Spencer. Spencer might actually draw some votes in. I think Jeremy's probably going home, right? Here's the thing, and this is the one thing that can help Jeremy out, is everybody absolutely despises Aaron, right? It's going to be hard for Candace, Howard, Andy to not vote for Aaron, I think.
No, I don't think it is. Because you got to get rid of Spencer. This is the time to get rid of Spencer. And not Spencer, Jeremy. Damn it.
I mean, Jeremy's the obvious candidate to be voted out, right? He's strong. This might be your best chance to get rid of him. And that's really what Helen needs to hammer home, right? Because she's obviously going to want Jeremy out.
Right.
The problem for her is she's going to have to convince the people in her alliance. And I don't think it's that tight of a group, right? She's going to have to convince people like Candace, Howard, Andy, Jesse, people that can't stand Aaron, right? They've been calling her the devil on TV.
Yeah.
Right? She's going to have to convince them that it's in their best interest to live with that girl for another week and vote out Jeremy.
Here's the thing. And Puffy Taco.
How hard do you push to do that, right?
Puffy Taco makes a great point in the chat room. You can't get rid of too many women. I mean, and I think Helen knows that. Helen realizes you can't get rid of too many women.
It's really going to be up to how hard Helen pushes it, I think. I think she's really going to have to sit everybody down and say, listen, we can get rid of Aaron a week from now.
Right.
I'd prefer that we get rid of Jeremy.
And again, the Puffy Taco brings up this point. Get rid of the physical threat so that the HOH numbers are tipped in your favor.
Yeah, that's true. She needs to convince them that it's in their best interest to let Aaron stick around for a week to put up with her and promise that they'll get rid of her later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to hope that, Candace, she seems like a good game player, right? So I'm sure she knows in the back of her mind that, they should get rid of Jeremy and do Aaron later.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of will they do it?
What interests me a little bit is Alyssa as MVP nominated Spencer.
It almost seems like that sabotages the Jeremy. I'm just throwing this out here. Her nominating Spencer, to me, almost helps Jeremy because it might split some of the votes that would go to Jeremy might be diverted towards Spencer.
Right.
If I were her and you're trying to get rid of Jeremy, I would put up Gina Marie because Gina Marie's going to get no votes. Nobody considers her a threat whatsoever.
But here's the thing. Spencer is taking, and I do mean Spencer this time, not Jeremy. Spencer is taking the fall for Howard's vote against Alyssa. Howard voted to get rid of Alyssa. Howard did. Spencer did not.
Well, yeah, but Helen knows that Howard voted to get rid of.
No, she doesn't. Well, unless I've missed something in the live feeds.
Yeah, you missed it. Okay. Howard revealed to Helen that he voted to get rid of Alyssa.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Howard.
How did Helen take that?
Helen did not take that well. In fact, I think Howard is not in solid footing with that alliance because of it. And Howard also did not admit to Helen that he was a member of the moving company, even though she knows that he was because Jeremy told her.
Right, okay. So maybe that was on the show. Maybe I'm thinking... That's right.
That was on the show. That was on Sunday night.
He lied. He did. Okay, you're right. He lied about being in the moving company. He said there was no boys alliance, but he did fess. See, I don't remember that, but he did fess up to voting out Alyssa, huh?
He did. So
yeah, I remember that, but I guess I had it flipped that he admitted to being in an all boys alliance, but lied about Alyssa's vote. I still think Spencer's kind of taking the fall for Howard's vote against Alyssa.
Well, because I don't think Helen's told anybody else that what Howard revealed.
Yeah,
to
but her. Helen would have definitely told Alyssa since she was MVP who she wanted to go up. I mean, because Alyssa and Helen are really close.
I know. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, to me, if you want to make sure Jeremy's going home, you put up somebody that you don't think is going to get one vote. And I could see Spencer, you know. He's a threat in this game also. I could see him. I could see somebody deciding to lob a vote Spencer's way.
Yeah, I see that too. But Jeremy's the guy that you got to get rid of this week.
I really think it comes down to Jeremy. Now, all right, let's go through who's voting this week, right? Caitlin's voting. Who's she going to vote? She's going to keep Jeremy, right? So her vote goes towards Aaron.
Yes.
Gina Marie, I would think, is going to vote to get rid of Jeremy. So I think
I don't know how Gina Marie might be the one that throws the vote towards Spencer.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe Gina Marie throws a vote towards Spencer. I agree with that. So then you'd have one for Aaron, one for Spencer. Then you come down to Candace and Howard and Alyssa and Andy, right?
Yeah.
So that four-person block is who Helen needs to convince to do her bidding.
Well, and I think she already has.
I feel like Judd will go wherever the majority goes.
Yeah.
And where
do they fall?
McCray and Amanda, I think, that's interesting, actually.
I think they go against Jeremy, and they try to vote him out.
I think they probably go against Jeremy, too.
Because they went against Nick. I mean... Why not, you know, get rid of the rest of the moving company?
Yeah, it really, you know what? To me, it depends on what that four-person block does. Because if Candace, Howard, Andy, and Alyssa decide to vote for Jeremy, he's gone.
Yeah.
If they decide to vote for Aaron, she's gone.
Yeah.
So really, it's just a matter of what they decide to do as a group.
I am so fucking happy that the fucking dumb name of the moving company is going to be over with very quickly. That was the worst alliance in the history of Big Brother.
It was definitely not. It definitely was not the Brigade.
If Nick is on this fucking show, I'm busting his balls about the name of the moving company. I'm not going to let him get away with a terrible name. He's a fan. I think, well, he might not be a super fan, but he should have came up with a better name.
What was Jace's group's name again? How am I forgetting this?
Jace was the Four Horsemen.
The Four Horsemen, yeah. Yes. That was the best alliance. Them or the Brigade.
Yeah. The
Brigade probably goes down as the best because... You know what the moving company did wrong, the Brigade did right? the moving company was too big. Five is almost unwieldy, I think.
You know what?
What you want is like a three-person group, and then you want to have each three go out and pick somebody else like the brigade did.
No, here's what happened with the moving company. Everyone's dicks got in the way.
Yeah.
You had McCray fucking around with Amanda. You have Jeremy fucking around with Caitlin.
Jeremy's thing with Caitlin, I think, precipitated that downfall of the alliance.
Absolutely.
Because once they knew Jeremy wasn't all in, McCray's like, well, if he's not all in, I'm not all in, right?
Well, so then, it was that, and then the tipping point was them giving an ultimatum to McCray about Amanda.
Yeah.
And it was really two-faced for Jeremy to say something like that when he did the exact same thing with Caitlin and said, if you get rid of Caitlin, this alliance is over. But then goes to McCray and say, you know, you're not in this alliance anymore if you keep Amanda or if you follow Amanda. So it was complete bullshit what they did. They deserved to be split up. And for them to lose, for the hypocrisy that they pulled. It was just utter bullshit. And I blame Jeremy. Everything falls back onto Jeremy. This is Jeremy's fault that Nick is out of the house. And I hope Nick sees that. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But it is absolutely Jeremy's fault that Nick is out of the house. I can't simplify it anymore. So, anyway, what else? Do we have anything else to talk about with Big Brother?
No, I think that's it. I haven't watched Whodunit yet.
Oh my God, Trevor!
I didn't watch this week's episode. It's on my TiVo.
It's so good. Ulysses, the person who I would have swore was the killer, was voted out. I think he's going to make an appearance on RFF Radio.
Ooh, nice!
So you need to get the show watched.
I will make sure I knock that out this week.
Yes. It is a very good show. I like it a lot. Like I said, the concept is great. The story is pretty good. And don't fool yourself, everybody. It is absolutely a story that they're putting on that is got a reality TV element in it. I wouldn't say that it is a full-on reality TV show like Big Brother or Survivor because it is absolutely story-driven. The story drives the game, not the game driving the story. Because in Survivor and Big Brother, you have these people in there interacting. Those people interacting is what creates the storyline. The story in Whodunit is more plotted out than in these other shows. I mean, the other shows really aren't plotted out at all other than challenges and stuff like and twists and all that. But the story is really driving the players. And it's an interesting concept. It's an interesting show. I really urge everybody to watch it because it's fun to watch. It is very much like The Mole. There's a lot of elements of The Mole to it. But it's different enough where you're not thinking mole the whole show. It's a good show. I'm liking it a lot. And Ulysses, the one I thought was the killer, is gone. And I still, to this day, if it turns out to be Jarvis the butler, if the butler is the one who done it, I'm absolutely getting the producers on this show to hang up on him.
It was the butler who did it. It's going to be similar to The Mole, where your guy won. Like, I couldn't believe that he was the mole.
No. It's like the first season of The Mole. If it was Anderson Cooper as the mole, that's what this would be like.
That would be awesome. Anderson Cooper was the mole.
No, it cannot be the butler. If it is the butler who did it, people will revolt. I will never watch another season. I will urge everyone to not watch another season of the show, and the show will be over. RFF Radio will bring down Whodunit if it's the butler who did it.
The butler did it. That'd be great. I actually think that'd be kind of funny if it was the butler.
It would be hilarious, but I would be so pissed. It would be hilarious. But oh my god, I would be angry. The Puffy Taco says, Moving Company was an awesome name. Better than the Quack Pack or Secret Six. That's true. The Quack Pack was terrible.
Quack Pack was... No, it was a great nickname, even though they didn't give it to themselves. It wasn't Howie nicknamed that group the Nerd Herd.
The Nerd Herd is still one of my favorite names. God, everyone hated the Nerd Herd, and I liked Maggie that season. She ended up winning, but oh my god, people hated the Nerd Herd.
Oh, well, the Nerd Herd jumped the shark when, after Kaser made that deal with, Jen. And then Jen went back on that deal.
Oh, yeah. After that 18-hour HOH challenge.
She basically, like, declared war on Big Brother fans of America.
Oh, I cannot believe we were starting.
They got killed on the message boards. I remember people were so angry about her going back on that deal on the reality. We all had to shut down the message boards.
We were just in the beginning of doing our podcast. I mean, we were within the first 20 episodes of the show when Big Brother 6 started. Because I remember episode 9, we did a special report on Kaser coming back into the house. And that was the night that you broke your lamp.
Yes. That was awesome.
So angry I don't have recorded. To this day, it's just lost in internet history. But you leaned back and broke a lamp.
Podcast Alley probably has it somewhere.
No, I wasn't recording at the time.
Oh, wow.
That's why ever since.
Oops. Yeah, that was after the show.
Yeah. That's why I have a backup recording, not only for when my primary computer crashes, if it does, but I have a backup recording all the time that we're on the air. Mm-hmm. So if that ever happens again, I break another lamp for us. Or how about the time, I also didn't have this recorded, but remember before your wedding, your wife-to-be came home and found out that they had melted her veil?
Yeah, I remember that.
Holy shit. I just remember screaming in the background.
I mean, I remember having to go back out. I mean, it was the actual veil. Like, yeah. You know, years from now, you know what the biggest racket is? And we should, you know, if I was smart, I'd start this business. Making wedding dresses and anything associated with a wedding. So you can basically charge like 5 times what the amount is supposed to be, and it gets paid.
Yes. Weddings are expensive. Especially in New York.
It's absurd. I should become a wedding photographer.
Oh, Trevor. Your wedding was extravagant, by the way. Way more extravagant than anything that I have ever been to or ever will be to. I can't imagine how much money that must have cost you, your family, or whoever paid for it.
That was definitely a fun time.
It was the best wedding I've ever been to.
Thank you. I still
don't know how much it cost you. I have an estimate in my head of how much that must have cost you, or your family. That was
definitely awesome.
But it was way more money than I make in 3 years.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. It was a big wedding. It was very nice, but I'll never forget that veil.
No, that was almost a heart attack moment. They literally burnt the hole
because it was like 2 weeks out, right?
Yeah,
we were like two or three weeks at most out from your wedding, and a melted veil. anything else in the reality TV world?
Nah, nothing.
I'm so sad the series finale of the George Zimmerman trial aired Saturday night.
Now I have a theory on this. Do you think they made the verdict, they decided, you know what, let's announce it Saturday at 11 o'clock because half the country will be asleep when it's announced?
I don't know. I kind of agree that there was something there. Like, it was weird because Friday they did closing arguments in the morning. Here's the thing. I went up to Deadwood, South Dakota for the weekend. Got to see Mount Rushmore, do all that fun stuff. I gambled a lot, had a lot of fun up there. So I was up in Deadwood. So on the way to Deadwood, I listened to Closing Arguments on my phone because now with the Dish Hoppa, I can connect and I can do an audio-only stream from my TV here at home. So I did that. I listened to Closing Arguments all the way up on the drive up. The jury deliberated for 3 hours, from like 2:30 to 6, so 3.5 hours, and then went home. And I didn't expect a verdict Friday. I absolutely didn't. If they would have come back with a verdict Friday afternoon, I would have been like, yep, not guilty, it's over. But then Saturday, they deliberated for 13 hours.
And here's the thing, at around 6, they came back and asked for further instructions on manslaughter.
Right.
And I was like, well, geez, if they're asking for that, that means he's getting convicted of manslaughter, right? It's a no-brainer. When he didn't get convicted, I have to say, I was pretty surprised.
So they asked for further instructions on manslaughter at like 6 o'clock that night. The lawyers and the judge agreed that they needed more information from the jury in terms of what do you need to know? We need a more specific question. And the jury never answered. And then, because I was in your boat, Trevor, when they asked for more instructions on manslaughter, I'm like, uh-oh, they're looking at this pretty hard. I knew that they had passed up murder, too. I mean, that was a no-brainer from watching.
And my whole thought was always that he would be convicted of manslaughter, not murder.
Right.
Because to me, it felt like manslaughter was probably – when you take into account the circumstances where the 911 dispatcher said, don't follow him, stay at home, right? And he had followed him anyways.
Right. But the 911 – here's the flip side of this. I know what you're talking about. The 911 operator asked George, are you following him? George said yes. The 911 operator said, we don't need you to do that. George said, okay. The 911 operator also said twice on two separate occasions, I need you to keep an eye on him for me. So what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's. I mean, I saw that. It's kind of conflicting, right?
It is. Like,
keep an eye, but don't follow him.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know. I just felt like, you know, manslaughter is probably – it definitely wasn't murder, but I thought it was going to be manslaughter.
The thing is, and the jury didn't know this, but manslaughter with a weapon on somebody younger than 18 – I'm sorry. Manslaughter with a gun with a victim that's under the age of 18 carried the almost the same sentence as murder too. Because
I didn't know that until they were talking about it on the air.
Because
about
mandatory minimums in Florida. But so when they came back with that question on manslaughter, I'm like, okay. I mean, I was disappointed because I was going to be wrong in my prediction. But
by the way, you know who really has to stand up and look at themselves in the mirror? State of Florida now lost the Casey Anthony case and this case, right? Probably the two highest profile prosecutions brought in the last 2 to 3 years, and they lost them both.
Yeah.
Right? You have to think that right now, that, you know, their whole, you know, attorney infrastructure on the prosecutor's side, they have to be looking at themselves in the mirror going, we just lost the two biggest trials of the last 5 years.
Charge their taxpayers, okay?
What'd your wife say?
Oh, she's chiming in about the prosecutors. Yeah, they have to do a better job.
They do.
I mean,
if you're
spending the taxpayers' money to bring these cases, you have to have your shit together.
Right. With the Casey Anthony, I will say this, and I watched that trial very closely, and I made the prediction that she was going to be acquitted on those charges as well. They didn't have the evidence. They did not have their shit together on either case.
I mean, they should. I mean, it just seems like they rushed. Like this one, they like kind of slapped it together, rushed into court, and try. Yeah, it felt like, you know, if you know it's a big case, take your time, make sure you have everything lined up, and then go with it. And they felt like a little bit like that way in the Casey Anthony case too, that they kind of were like in a rush to get into the courtroom and they just got outmaneuvered by the defense attorney.
Well, the defense on both ends put enough reasonable doubt in those juries to send back a, and I knew, I had a thought that this was exactly how it was going
to
go down.
To me, I felt like the prosecutors never hammered home the point in this case that, listen, the 911 dispatcher told him to not follow him, and he continued to follow him, right?
The 911 dispatcher also testified that we say that for their safety. It's not an order. A dispatcher is not a law enforcement official.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a...
I'm just saying that's the point that they should have hammered home. I the entire crux of that guy's closing argument should have been... He was on the phone with 911 dispatcher. 911 dispatcher said to not follow him, and he got into a confrontation with him. So clearly, he didn't listen to the 911 dispatcher. He clearly went and followed him, which, you know...
They made that point, but it is not against the law for you to follow somebody.
Yeah, it's not against the law to follow somebody, but he can't then make the argument that, you know... Yeah, his it kind of changes the complexion of that.
It does.
I just feel like they didn't hammer home that point enough. That I don't know. I don't want to criticize the attorneys. I just feel like it just doesn't seem like they did a good enough job in terms of hammering that point home.
No,
that would have been what I hung the entire case on. They're like, listen, this is what we told him, and this is what happened. So clearly, there is a disconnect. But you know. Definitely a tough case.
Well, when the jury never came back with more clarification on manslaughter, like, so I was taking a break. I had just gotten back from Mount Rushmore at the time that they came in and said, we need more clarification. So I kind of hung around for a little bit, and then I decided to go into Deadwood and gamble some more. But when they didn't come back with clarification as to what they wanted, I'm like, we're going to have a verdict tonight. And it's going to be not guilty. And like four hours later, we had a verdict and it was not guilty. Here I am in Deadwood on my iPhone watching my hopper to get the information. But yeah, I mean, it another month of my life has gone to a trial. I don't know why people are so caught up on these, because I'm not the only one that gets caught up on them. I mean, CNN and HLN and Fox were airing testimony live, you know.
I mean, for the ratings, they want...
As it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, CNN was airing this 24/7.
Yeah.
It brings in ratings. It's the same reason why people watch Big Brother, right? They want to pod... It's almost like a soap opera.
But my question is this. Think of the last three big trials we've had. George Zimmerman, Casey Anthony, O.J. Simpson. What has been the verdict on all three of those?
Yeah, you're right.
Why is it that the big high-profile cases are not guilty?
It's a great point. I mean, I wonder, you know, higher-profile cases draw in sharper defense attorneys, right?
Because
they want... the publicity, they know they'll still make their careers if they get these people off.
But my question is, do we know? I mean, okay, O.J. Simpson, fine. Casey Anthony, the Casey Anthony saga was interesting to me. So is the George Zimmerman, in terms of these are just normal, everyday people that have committed were accused of a crime. Do the press know, do we know as a society, these people aren't guilty and we want to watch them get off? You know, so is it I'm not saying a conspiracy, but is it a subconscious that we want to be angry about? I mean, I don't know.
I think people just like watching these. But listen, I actually have to jump. It's 11:15.
Yeah, it is late there. So, Trevor, thank you for doing another fun show.
No problem.
How can people get a hold of you? How can people get a hold of you?
You can catch me at TrevorRFFRadio.com.
I'm Rob at RFFRadio.com, Twitter.com/RobRFF, and Facebook.com/RobRFF. Guys, thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll catch you back here soon.